He is risen. He is risen indeed. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to reread verses 6 and 7 of our text from Mark 16. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing Juliana with new birth and baptism and the gift of your Holy Spirit this day. Send us your Holy Spirit also as we meditate on your word to strengthen us in faith towards you and in love towards one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. It never ceases to amaze me that no matter how early I seem to get up and get going, and this morning it was pretty early, but it never ceases to amaze me that there's always other people out already. There's always people on the streets walking, and there's lights on in homes, there's cars on the roads, there's shops open for business. It never ceases to amaze me that the world is invariably awake and doing things before I am. Whenever I drive to the airport, I always have this thought in the back of my mind when it's early in the morning. What are all these cars doing on the road? Where are all these people going? What are all these people up to? When Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, arrive at the tomb, it's very early in the morning on the first day of the week. They're the early birds, right? They're the first cabs off the rank. They're there before anyone, or so they think. When they arrive, what they find is that something quite remarkable has already taken place. They find that the person they were expecting to find isn't there, and a person they would have never been expecting to find is there. They find that they're already playing catch-up. They're already a step behind. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us many things, many things. But among them is the fact that God is always one step ahead of us. God is always up. He's always active before we are. He is invariably ahead of us. And we are always trying to catch up with what he's already doing in the world. This mysterious messenger, this angel at the tomb, illustrates the fact when he says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you to Galilee." He is going ahead of you. That's our theme for today. He is going ahead of you. That he's not only alive and he's not only risen, which is miraculous enough, but that he is already on the move. He's already active. He's already on to the next thing because he has important work to be done. And he's always calling us to follow in his footsteps as well. This has often been my experience in ministry. That just when you think you're the first person somewhere or the first on the scene for something or you're doing something new or you're doing something innovative, God reminds you that he was there first and that he was doing work before you were and that it's his work and it's his world and it's his church and it's his message and these are his people. And we do well to remember our place in that whole thing, which is always student, not teacher, servant, not master, and sheep, not shepherd. I had an experience with Juliana and Christiana that reminded me very vividly and importantly of that fact a couple weeks ago. Juliana and I have been working together throughout the season of Lent. We've spent quite a bit of time together going through the catechism and various other things, preparing for this day. And about 2 weeks ago, Christiana came to me and she said, "Do you think Mum's ready to be baptized?" And my response to her was, she was ready long before I got to her. She was ready long before I got to her. Someone else had been there already. Someone else had been at work in Juliana's life already. Someone else had been there. And those of you who know this congregation think, "Oh yeah, that's Pastor David Christian. He was there already." And he was, right? But someone else. You might be thinking, "Oh yeah, well that's probably Christiana. She was there already," and she was. "Well, that was Christine, or that was George. They were there already as well." But someone else was there. When I came into contact with Juliana, what I realized was that God had been at work in her life for a long, long time, preparing the soil, planting the seed of his word, waiting patiently until just the right time to draw her to the waters of holy baptism. God is always more active. He's always a step ahead of where we think he is and often where we are. Of course, God does work through his people too. And so God is present there through his people doing his work also. Our risen Lord Jesus is always going on ahead of us. Firstly, into his death. Secondly, into his life. And thirdly, into things unknown. These are our three points for us to think about today. Into death, into life, and into things unknown. Today's reading is set at a grave site, right? It's a strange place. It's a place of death. It's a place of difficulty. It's a confusing place for human beings. And you can hear that as the women approach the tomb. And you can think about that in what's behind the scenes as well. What they say is, who will roll the stone away for us? And that question begs some other questions like, where's everybody else? Where are the disciples? Where are the blokes? Where's the crowd? Where's everyone gone who was there a couple of days ago? We can only imagine that they're in hiding or they've been scattered or shattered. That they don't want to be there, perhaps. It's too hard to be there. This is what a graveside's like, right? It's a place of death. It's a difficult place for human beings to be. It's a hard place to come to terms with. And you hear that in the women's question. And you see that in the various other things going on, that death is not easy for human beings to come to terms with. It confuses us. It scares us. It grieves us. It guilts us. And it saddens us. Paul calls death the last great enemy. And so it is the last great enemy. There's no denying that that's what death is. But Easter reminds us of something, and it's something very important. Easter reminds us that Jesus has been there too, ahead of us. Ahead of us. That Jesus has tasted death already. That Jesus knows what death is like. And not just any death, but a very difficult and painful and unjust one. Jesus has gone ahead of us into the grave to deal with something that we could never deal with by ourselves. I wonder when the last time was that you went to a non-Christian funeral. I wonder when the last time was you saw people try to grapple with the topic of death apart from God. People tell me regularly that they have these experiences and that they find them very hard and very confusing and even very hopeless situations to be in. Not always, but often they relate those experiences. That's the human interaction with death. That's what death is like. But Easter reminds us that maybe there's more here than meets the eye. That maybe there is hope in the midst of what appears to us as hopeless. Death doesn't hold the same fear for Christians, at least it need not, as to those who do not believe in the resurrected Christ. When these women arrive at the tomb, one thing they find is that the questions they had aren't there anymore. The concerns they thought they had around death are immediately swept away. They look up and the stone has been rolled away. Okay, one question answered. One concern overcome already. What they begin to realize is that somebody was there ahead of them. They're not as early as they thought they were. Now, they don't know who that is yet, and they don't know why that is yet, but all they know is that something's already happened here. Someone was ahead of them the whole time. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Literally, it means they were terrified. Right? They were terrified at this. It is alarming, isn't it? The resurrection. Isn't it alarming? Hard to get our heads around? Because it falls so far outside of our human expectations and our human experiences. And so in that sense, it's alarming and it's not easy to take in. But one thing we need to realize is the shock of these first witnesses and how encouraging that can be to us, because it wasn't easy for them to take in either. Right? They didn't just walk in and go, oh, resurrection. Right? It was hard. It was shocking. It was surprising. And the events that follow show just what a hard thing it was for them to come to terms with. But what an important thing it was for them to come to terms with as well. This kind of thing doesn't ordinarily happen. We should know that and we should be clear about that. This is out of the ordinary. This is different. This is miraculous to be sure. It is something we could never conceive of, something we could never comprehend or take in on our own steam. But if God is always ahead of us, if God's thoughts are always higher than ours, if God's power is always stronger than ours, if God is who he says he is, then of course this is possible. With human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Don't be alarmed, he says. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. What we learn here at the grave is that the same Jesus who went ahead of us into death has now gone ahead of us into life as well. And the message says, see the place where they laid him. Come in and have a look. Observe. Think about it. You don't have to check your reason at the door, right, when you step inside the Christian church. That's not what Scripture teaches. It teaches, come in, look, observe, think about it, all right? But take in all the evidence, because there's a lot of it when you start adding it up in the New Testament, the appearances of Christ, right, and the rapid expansion of the Christian church against all the odds, and in the midst of immense persecution. What was going on here? How did this happen? Unless God had gone on before them to clear a path for them, to make this message meet the world that so desperately needed it and still needs it. Here at the empty tomb, we learn in short that God in Christ has overcome the power of death. And Christians are people who live then in the light of the knowledge that death does not have the final say. That's why St. Paul can write, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer can call the grave a place of victory, a place of the living. Not a place of the dead, but a place of the living. That's why John Donne, in one of his poets, can say, death, be not proud. Death, be not proud. One short sleep, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Not because we've done it, not because we ever could do it or even begin to comprehend it, but because God can and does and has. He has gone ahead of us, firstly into death, secondly into life, and finally into things unknown. The messenger says, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. You know, from here on, it's all uncharted waters for these women, right? They don't know what they're stepping into. They don't know what a world in which resurrection and coming back to life is a reality means for them from here on in. They don't know what it's like to live in that existence. It's uncharted territory, right? They've never lived like that before. They'd never lived in a reality where their sins have been so utterly forgiven and taken care of. And a reality where their fear of death can be so totally removed. And a reality where their fellowship with God can be so completely restored and at peace. They don't know what that's like, but they're about to find out. They didn't know what that would mean for their future, but they're about to find out. Now, interestingly, what it means initially is that they're bewildered and they're scared and they don't know what to do. And they don't know what to say. And then they go and meet the disciples and they don't know what to do either. And they're fearful. And they come across Thomas and he's doubtful. Right? Christian life, life in the light of the resurrection, is not all plain sailing. Right? It doesn't get rid of every fear. It doesn't get rid of every doubt. They still are there. That's still part of our Christian journey, our Christian life. We live with those things, we bear with those things. But what it did mean is that everywhere they went, God had already been. And he had already paved a path for them. And he had already made it far smoother than they expected it to be. Christian life is not a life without its problems. It's not a straightforward life. It's not a life of perfect clarity. But it is a life where the greatest enemy, that last great enemy, has been defeated. And that changes the way we live in the here and now. It is a life where we can say, yes, with human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we can say that in the midst of any situation, any circumstance we come across. Yes, of course, with human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. These women are given their mission. Go to the disciples, tell them about this. The disciples are given their mission. Go to the world. Baptizing and teaching everything I have taught you. And the promise that accompanies that is, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. But the promise here at the graveside is even more startling. Surely I will go ahead of you in your life. I will go ahead of you. I will prepare a way for you. I will be there waiting for you. Wherever you go, whatever life brings, however difficult it is, I will have been there first and I will be there to meet you when you get there. As we come into the fellowship of God's church and as we're sent into the mission field of God's world, we are assured that the risen Christ is waiting there to meet us, that he goes on ahead of us and that he never leaves us, that there is no place he won't go, there is no home he won't enter, there is no street he won't walk on, there is no life that he doesn't want to be a part of, there is no sin he can't forgive, there is no conflict he can't reconcile, there is no situation he can't redeem, there is no problem he can't solve, and there is no enemy he can't overcome. Look, the messenger says, he's going on ahead of you, into your death, into your life, into things unknown for you, and finally he's going on ahead of you into heaven, and there you will see him just as he told you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message we hear at the graveside, a difficult place, a confusing place for us as human beings, but a place where you tell us your Son is not there anymore. He has risen and he has gone on ahead of us in our lives. Lord, encourage us with this message. Give us peace through the cross and through the empty grave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.